While you're finding Daniel, the third chapter, just glance at your neighbor and say, there's a reason for my praise this morning. Come on, I need about 15, 20 folk that really understand what I'm talking about. Come on, it's about just shy of 600 of you in here. Just look at your neighbor and say, there's a reason for my praise this morning. Now, if you don't have a reason, I'm about to give you a reason. If you don't have a reason, I'm about to give you a reason. But you should already have a reason. You say, Pastor, what reason should I have? He saved me. Oh, man, if you can't have a praise for that, ain't no need of you having a praise for anything else. He saved me. Okay, that went over real big. He saved me. That should be the very impetus of why you always have a zeal in your heart towards God. For he loved you while you were still a sinner. And he's still loving you. And still keeping you. Let me go on with the preach. Let me go on with the text here. Daniel, the third chapter. We will belay most of this to get to where the Lord wants us to go. And we'll begin at verse 25. Verse 25. We'll read verse 25. And then we will read verse 30. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Verse 30 declares, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I want to preach to you this morning from the subject, the promotion. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word is quickening and makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, we pray that you speak such a word to us today that it changes not some things but everything. That it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. That it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive this word. Anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing is that you have your way. Do whatever it is you want to do. For this is your house and we are your people. And we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. You know how we do at Kingdom Life. Before you sit down, turn and smile as bright as you can. Come on, show your neighbor everything God has blessed you with. Gold teeth, yellow teeth, come on. Whatever you got, go on, show them. And say, today you get promoted. Today. I just need to find some consensus. Find somebody else and say, today, you get promoted. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Before we dive into the text in particularly, I need to lay a little bit of foundation of where I'm going with this. And what I want you to understand is that it is no secret. It is no secret that the world is literally in crisis. It is no secret because if you turn on the news, you can see this for yourself at any moment and at any time. And not only is the world in crisis, if you will, the crisis that is in the world has direct impact and influence on other parts of the globe. And so this is not simply something that is germane to a certain nation or a certain area. This crisis is global. Globalization has made this possible. And by globalization, I mean in the sense of modern technology and access and trade tariffs and cultures and so forth and so on, and global communications. Whatever impacts somebody over here has direct impact on somebody over there. Just a few days ago, there was a majority vote in Great Britain to detach themselves from the EU that had sweeping effect, if you will, on the rest of the culture and on the rest of the world. You have to understand that this concept of crisis is nothing new, and I want you to understand that I'm not giving you this in a sense so that you can feel doom and gloom and horror, nor am I giving you this so that you can see yourself as vulnerable or fragile. The reason that I'm giving you this is to understand where your hope and your confidence shall lie. Crisis is not too strong of a word for what is happening. We are walking through a worldwide crisis where if you look at it, any shape or form of the political spectrum on the national level in the arena, and we come up with these two individuals are the best we have to offer in terms of who would be the president of the United States in this country. That's a crisis. Y'all ain't said nothing. That's a crisis. That's a crisis. That's a crisis. That's a crisis. When we look at the economic landscape, political landscape, wherever you want to look, even within the church, there's crisis all over the place. And it would seem as though the very world in which we live in is fragile. And it would seem as though that fear should be ruling the day. It should seem as if you will, that people should be losing their absolute minds. What is keeping us together? What is holding us together? What is giving us hope? What is making us be at peace? I have an answer for you. You have to understand that the crises that are going on around the world is no crisis to God, because the kingdom of God is never in a crisis. I'm going to say that one more time. The kingdom of God is never in a crisis. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for the kingdom. Come on here. Thank God for the kingdom. The kingdom of God is never in a crisis, because the kingdom of God is built upon an incorruptible seed. It's built upon something that cannot rust, or built upon something that cannot fade away, built upon something that is such a solid foundation and a solid rock. Anything and anyone and any entity is able to stand upon it throughout all eternity. Look at your neighbor. Say the kingdom of God is never in a crisis. Come on here. Did not the Lord say in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but then he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Look at your neighbor and say, God has overcome everything that I'm afraid of at this very moment. I feel an anointing in here. The reason why God has overcome everything that you're faced with is because he put the seeds of overcoming power on the inside of you. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So there are seeds of faith that are poured on the inside of you that sometimes, my God, get pulled upon in the absolute moments of crisis. In other words, sometimes it takes crisis to pull out of you what God has put on the inside of you. Look at your neighbor and say, God is about to cause something to grow that's been in me for a very long time. In other words, God has put this incorruptible seed on the inside of you, and sometimes it takes the pressures of life for you to even recognize and realize what's there. Sometimes you got to get backed into a corner to realize that your hope and your trust is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That you would dare not trust, I wish I had a church, the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock you choose to stand. You're not leaning on your own understanding, but in all your ways, you are acknowledging him. His word has been a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path.
past. It's how you do all that you do, and having done all to stand, you stand therefore. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm standing, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm standing with the breastplate of righteousness. I'm standing with the helmet of salvation. I'm standing with the shield of faith to quench all of the fiery darts of the enemy. I'm standing in the middle of turmoil, but 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but none of it, baby, is going to hit me, because I'm covered in the precious blood. Somebody shout, I'm covered, I'm covered, I'm covered. I wish you had an audacity about you that looked the devil in the face and say, no weapon formed against me shall be, who am I talking to in here, shall be able to prosper. No economic collapse can affect what God is about to do in my life. No decision from politicians can impact what God is doing in my life. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm covered, I'm covered, I'm covered. Oh God, can I get 10 folk in here to understand what I'm talking about? I'm covered, I'm covered, I'm covered, I'm covered. Down the road, I'm covered. In my past, I'm covered. In my present, I'm covered. He surrounds me with his favor like a shield. Somebody shout, I'm covered, I'm covered, I'm covered. I'm covered. I'm covered. You and I have to realize that we are covered for moments of crisis. This is why it's called blessed assurance. God doesn't give us insurance, he gives us assurance. Crises are experiences that you do not anticipate, nor do you prepare for. So when the crisis comes, you ain't ready. And you're not supposed to be. They are supposed to take you by surprise. And they are supposed to attempt to try to fill you with anxiety. The problem with the crisis when it comes is that you have to realize that you are covered. Oh, God, Lord have mercy. You are covered, you are covered. You're covered from fear, and you're covered from trauma, and you're covered from depression, and you're covered from despair, and you're covered from frustration, and you're covered from anxiety and loneliness and worry. Somebody shout, I'm covered. You're covered from hopelessness. You're covered from a sense of abandonment. You're covered from loss. I'm going to preach this in a second. You're even covered from death. I wish I had somebody. For the Bible says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Say, I'm covered, I'm covered. If I live, I'm covered. If I die, I'm covered. I can't get help. Somebody shout, I'm covered, I'm covered. The problem with crisis is that in crisis, you look to the experts for help, but the experts can't help you. They can't help you. All they can do is speculate, and all they can do is play the blame game. In other words, all they can do is point the finger as to why we are in what we are in. But they cannot give us any direction or solution how to get out. I'm preaching better than y'all shout of what we are in. And so what you then have to realize is that God put something on the inside of you to pull out, because you are an answer to somebody else's solution that an expert, my God, don't have the answer for. The crisis and the pressure that you face is going to become the answer for somebody else's dilemma. Crisis forces development. Oh, this is good stuff right here. It forces development. It always creates the opportunity for creativity. It provides powerful motivation to change, because you can't stay like you are or where you are. You have to invent new ways to deal with old problems. And so it requires a new mindset. And then you also have to learn how to collaborate with people that you normally would not collaborate with or talk to. It forces you out of your comfort zone into arenas and areas you would have never wise gone to unless you were in the crisis. I'm preaching way better than y'all shall. And so what we find ourselves here in the text is in this moment, we find ourselves with three individuals, Shadrach, Meshach, and of course, you know, a bad Negro. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And Abednego. And these are three Hebrew boys whose names have been changed by a Babylonian empire that's trying to indoctrinate them with their culture to get them to do things that is contrary to the way in which they live. In other words, it's trying to cause them to be so anxious and so full of hopelessness and despair that they compromise and give up and give in on what they know God had called them to be and what God had called them to do, in order to simply survive an ordeal or a crisis. And the crisis that they're trying to survive is this Babylonian captivity that have taken them away from their culture and their homeland, and also that is threatening the promises of God in their life, because these three Hebrew boys as children had to grow up under the auspices of understanding the promises of God, because they had to convey that message to their children and their children's children. And so they had to tell them what God was going to do, that he was going to give them this land and so forth and so on, that God is merciful, that God is gracious. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. But when the crisis confronts who God is in your life, how in the world do you have the mentality to deal with any of that? The mentality that you need to have to understand is that God uses the crisis to promote what he wants to do in you, and then in the end promote you. I wish I had somebody in here. Look at your name and say, I'm being promoted. I'm being promoted. God. In other words, God is marketing your mess right now. I wish I had somebody to talk to. God has a whole promotion schedule of what's going on in your life, and everybody is seeing it on public display. They seeing you hurt. They seeing you broke. They seeing you defeated. They seeing you fail. Look at your name and say, I'm being marketed. I'm being marketed. Oh, it's a good marketing strategy. Yes, it is. Because at every turn, they're saying, look at that fool. Look at them believe God. Look at them get up and talk about what God going to do. And they are experiencing the contrary and the opposite, and they talking about you. Look at your name and say, I'm getting free press. I wish I had somebody to talk to. They talking all about you. You are being chopped up at business tables and coffee tables and coffee rooms. I'm preaching better than y'all. Shout it. Look at your name and say, I got free PR, baby. They don't know what God is about to do in my life, and they're just building up the miracle that is about to take place from the mess I'm going through at this very... Slap your name and say, I got free press. I got free press. This is why the Bible says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Look at your name and say, let them talk, let them talk, let them talk. I need 10 folk to find somebody and say, let them talk. Talk me up, talk me down, talk about me like a dog. Because while you're talking, my Father is preparing a table in the presence of my enemies. Who am I preaching to in here? Let them say you'll never get the job. Let them say you'll never have the position. Let them talk. Let them talk. Let them talk. Let them talk. While they're talking, God is working. Oh, I felt that anointing right there. While they're saying you will never be and you'll never was, he's going ahead of you and making the crooked places straight while they're talking. Y'all sit down, let me preach this thing. So God uses this thing called promotion in the moments of crisis. He takes the crisis and allows it to put pressure on us and pull out of us stuff we didn't even know was there. He walks us into worlds we didn't even know existed. And it was the pressure that forced us to move. We would have never moved had we not been in the crisis. You would have never met them group of folk unless you had the problem that you had. I can't get help here from anybody. The Bible says a few things about promotion. And the Bible says that it doesn't come from the east, nor does it come from the west, nor does it come from the south, but it comes from the Lord. I wish I had somebody to help me out in here. The Bible lets us know that it is promotion, if you will, that has the ability in itself that causes you, as Psalm says it in Psalms 113:7, that he raises up the poor out of the dust and then lifteth the needy, if you will, out of the ash heap. It's promotion that's able to bring you out of complete and total place of obscurity, a place of total mess, a place of total abandonment, a place of total hopelessness, and put you in a position that you know you should not even be in. Promotion biblically has two meanings. First, it means the advancement of an idea or concept, and secondly, the advancement or success of a person. And so when God promotes you, the first thing he does is advance the idea or the concept of who you're going to be. In other words, he'll let people know what he called you to be, and he'll do it while you're in the middle or the total opposite of what he said you're going to be. I'm preaching better than y'all. Shout it. In other words, he'll say, Abram, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, but I can't have no kids, God. I wish I had somebody to help me out. Look at your name and say, promotion coming. Come on here. He'll say, Joseph, I gave you the ability to dream, and I gave you the coat of many colors, because you are about to be the impetus that leads my children into becoming a nation. But God, my family doesn't like me, and nobody understands my gift, and they threw me in the pit and they got me locked up in prison. But yeah, Joseph, I'm gonna make you sit in the palace. Look at your name and say, promotion is coming. Come on here. I wish I had help for somebody. Moses, you are a deliverer, and I called you and spared your life. But God, I'm a murderer, I'm an angry individual. No, Moses, you are a prophet, and there is not gonna be one like you ever before that comes after you. Aaron's a slave, but you're going to be a high priest. Saul is an obscure man in a small tribe, but I'm going to make you a king. David is a shepherd boy. Oh, God, if I had time, I ain't got time to go today. David is a shepherd boy, if you will, and he is the son of a concubine. He's the one that ain't nobody considered. He's the eighth child of Jesse. Okay. But I'm going to anoint you to be king. I'm preaching better than y'all, son. And if you, I could go on and on to the biblical names, the biblical figures, if you will, and we can talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I wanna go and fast forward to you so that you can see yourself in the same condition, in the same understanding, because Jesus was born in a manger, in a cave, if you will. They say barn, but it was really a cave because there was no room for him. A total obscure. But even in the cave, kings sought him out to give him gifts because they understood who he was from birth, not where he was born. I wish I had somebody, but who he was when he was born. I feel like preaching to somebody. And the Bible says when he died, he became the firstborn among many brethren, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, daily praying that your faith does not fail. Why? Because God took you out of the muck and the miry clay, and he gave you the ability to become a child of God. Now you are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Look at your name and say, I done already been promoted. Come on here. And I'm about to be promoted again. Come on here. If you're in here and God has brought you a mighty long way. Oh God, I just need about 20 folk that understand what I'm talking about. If you're in here and God done brought you a mighty long way, say, I already been promoted, baby. I should be left in the gutter. I should be locked behind bars. But look at, I ain't got no church this month. All right, let's get to the text. So now, let's get to the text. So now I got 15 minutes. Y'all gonna give me, I'm gonna take every last fit. Let's get to the text. So now, what we discover and what we see is that there's a difficulty and a crisis amongst the children of Israel. This crisis has resulted in them living in a different culture and in a different land, but serving God while they do it. The problem with this is that they have the fight for the soul of their faith. They have to fight for the soul of their faith. Their faith is being stretched in such a way, and it's being stretched because they're being asked to worship a false image erected for the king. And they refuse to worship. And when they refuse to worship, the king then investigates himself. He does not send any group of individuals, and he does not send somebody other than himself. He decides to investigate the matter on his own. And so the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and in his fury, commanded that they bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to them. They had already allowed the Babylonian Empire to change their name. But what they wasn't willing to do was to change their faith. You can call me what you want, but I'm going to believe in who I believe. God, I'm preaching my shop. And so they decide then that they're not going to allow this kingdom or this culture to change their heart towards God. And so Nebuchadnezzar spoke with them, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just say it ain't so. He says, say it, it's not true. He says, if you be ready at the time, listen to me carefully, to hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all of the instruments and all of the music, you shall fall down and worship. In other words, I want you to march into the beat of my drum. I want you to compromise as soon as you begin to hear the worship of the music. I want you to fall down, and I want you to worship me. And he says, if you be ready to do this, he says, I won't cast you into the fire. But if not, at that same hour, I'm going to put you in the midst of the burning and the fiery furnace. And the Bible says he then asks a question. Look at your neighbor and say, that was his mistake. I feel like preaching to somebody in here. He asks the question. And in this question, he says, and if I do that, then who shall be able to deliver you out of the fiery furnace? Somebody shout, it's a matter of who. Come on here. And he says, then who's going to do that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer and said unto him, he says, Nebuchadnezzar, let me explain something to you. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, I do not have to sit here and answer your questions, because if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. I just need about 5 folk in here. Matter of fact, make it 15, to look at your neighbor and say, my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of me. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, my God is able. I feel like preaching in here. Y'all ain't letting me preach. He says, if it be so. Yeah. If it be so, my God is able. Don't mess with me. Cut it out. He said, if it be so, oh, my God is able. Because they have to fight for the soul of their faith, they knew that faith is always confronted with a choice. And they knew at the moments of crisis that having faith in God will always involve a risk. And they knew that that faith would always encounter an opposition. But they also knew the delivering power of faith. They knew that deliverance from the crisis and the circumstance is not necessarily the best good for the person that's believing God. I just said a thing and y'all missed me. In other words, the three Hebrew boys were saying, listen, if it be so. In other words, if God doesn't do this. Oh, they wasn't falling out praying and crying and hucking a lion. Y'all ain't said nothing. They wasn't doing none of that. Their response was, if it be so, our God is able. In other words, if he doesn't do it, he's still able to do it, but he don't have to do it to get my faith. I believe God. Oh, God, I feel an anointing. I believe that he is and that he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. Slap your neighbor and say, faith is my verification, baby. I preached that on Wednesday night. You looking for the evidence. Y'all ain't said nothing. Faith is my evidence. Oh, glory to God. I feel an anointing in here. Y'all sit down. Let me finish this thing. So, deliverance from crisis is not necessarily the highest good. Paul and Silas was in prison, and at midnight they sang praises and prayed to God. The prison doors shook. Everybody's bands were loose, but they didn't leave the jail. No one liked that right now. Sometimes, deliverance from the moment is not the highest good. This is why they said, if it be so, God is able to do it. If he doesn't do it, he's still able. So the incidence of the trial or the circumstance or the crisis is unequal. God does not treat them all the same. Sometimes he'll bring you out. Sometimes he'll take you through. But sometimes he'll leave you right in it. Come on, man. I got 10 minutes. I got 10 minutes. Oh, God, can you praise him while you're still in it? Oh, God, can you give him glory while you're in the middle of it? They wasn't trying to figure out who or what God has done for somebody else. They wasn't trying to compare and contrast what God did over there. They were content with the faith that he's able. If it's so, if it's not so, he's still able. Then the Bible says that he then said, okay, if that's how you feel about it, if that's how you feel about it, the Bible says, he then said, and full of fury, that he formed the visage, all right, and then he changed against them and said, look, put them in the furnace, and hold on now. I want you to make sure that it's seven times more when you do it. I got a priest in here. He says, I need you to understand that is seven times more. The Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they weren't novice in serving God. They were the cousins of Daniel, and they understood not only what God delivered them if he wanted to, but they also understood the compensation of faith during times of crisis. In other words, faith does not go unappreciated or
unrewarded. In other words, when you exemplify faith unto God in the moment of crisis, he blesses you beyond measure. Look at your neighbor and say, promotion comes with the blessing. Come on here. And the Bible says that he's decided, he says, make sure it's seven times hotter. So they did that. And then he commanded the mighty men that were in the army to bind, if you will, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, go and cast them into the fire. Not only did he throw them in the hottest part of the fire and make it seven times hotter, they were bound when they went in. They were tied up when they went in. And the Bible says that when he did this, if you will, that these men were bound in their coats and their clothes and their hats and their other garments were all cast in into the midst of the burning of the fire. Furnace. So not only were they put in, all of their possessions were thrown in there with them. I wish I had somebody to help me out. He didn't just put them in, he put the stuff they owned in there because he wanted to make an example of these three Hebrew boys. But the Bible says when the king commanded to do this, he decided to do it and he did it. He threw them all in the fiery furnace. And when he threw them all in the fiery furnace, he did not understand the companionship that these three Hebrew boys had with their Savior Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that he called all of his princes and priests and all of his noblemen together to watch these three boys burn in the fiery furnace. But when he looked in, the king looked up in verse 24. He says, hold on a second. I am astonished. Did I not tell my counselors to put three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered the king and said, king, that's true. That's what you said. Then the king said, well, then why do I see four men not only in the fire, but walking around in the fire? I thought they were bound. I thought they were shackled. I thought, oh God, slap your name and say, if the enemy only knew what he was doing, he would not have messed with me. Oh God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting at him. When God promotes you, he gets people of importance and influence to see you put in a situation that would normally kill somebody. I can't get help. But you got an audience of individuals who are counting on you to die. And they throw you in there without any way of getting out. And when they look into your situation, they don't just see you, but they see God. Y'all don't drop this. Don't drop this. Don't drop this. Anointing's right there. Don't drop this. Don't drop this. Don't drop this. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you don't just see me. Come on here. You see the Lord in here with me. For he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the very end. Hold on now. Hold on now. They were bound when they went in. But when the king saw them, they were walking around in the fire with Jesus. Oh, I feel like preaching to somebody in here. Oh, God, when they look on you and look at your life and check you out on Facebook and look you up on Twitter and find you on Instagram, they're not only going to see you, but they're going to see the Lord walking with you. Oh, God, they're going to be looking for the wrong story. I feel like preaching to somebody. And you're going to have 140 characters of favor, 140 characters of blessing. We almost there. They see Jesus. And hold on now. Remember, their stuff was thrown in there too. Oh, okay, 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 okay. So while you're in the crisis, hold on now. While you're in the crisis, God is controlling the flames. Can I preach to somebody in here? Oh God, the king said, turn it up seven times hot. And the Lord says, go ahead. Get no help. Go ahead and do whatever you gotta do.
but no weapon formed against them can prosper. Why is this important? Because the Babylonians worship the god, small g, G-O-D, tribal deity, Izbar, I-Z-B-A-R, the god of fire. Ooh. 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 Their tribal deity is the god of fire. When the king looked into the kiln, that's what it was, a brick kiln, fiery furnace. When they looked into this kiln that makes bricks out of hot fire, he saw what looked like the Son of God. How can Nebuchadnezzar know what Jesus looked like? He doesn't. He thinks he's looking at, I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting. But he gets confused, and this is why the Bible says, I'm astonished, because he knows that Izbar destroys everything. He has no knowledge of Izbar saving anything. It only consumes. So the tribal deity only consumes and never saves. So he says the fourth one looks like the Son of God, little g. I can't get help here from anybody. Then he's astonished and says, no, that can't be him, because if that was him, they would be destroyed. It's got to be another god. Somebody through the fire and the hell that you're going through is about to find out there's another God that controls the flames of the fire. Slap your neighbor and say, there's a God somewhere. I feel like preaching to somebody in it. God is controlling. All right, I got to quit. God is controlling the flames of the fire. And the fire is not having the impact it's supposed to have on the young men. Slap your neighbor and say, neighbor, I feel like preaching. y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. Do it again. Slap your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm supposed to be in a world of trouble. I'm supposed to be all burnt up. But my God is able. I feel like helping somebody to deliver me out of every trial, out of every circumstance, out of every fire. I wish I had a church in here. Somebody shout, neighbor, my God is able to deliver me out of every trial. I gotta finish. Slap your neighbor and say, compensation coming. Y'all ain't no help in here. And you're making me run over my time. Look at your name and say, compensation coming. As a matter of fact, slap your name and say, divine compensation. For all of the hell you've gone through. For everything the enemy tried to do. For the Bible says, if the thief be found, he's got to return unto you sevenfold and the increase of his house. You didn't just put me in here, but you tried to get me to lose my car, lose my house, lose my possession. The devil is a liar. Compensation coming. Slap your neighbor and say, you got a compensation package coming. I wish I had a church in here. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Somebody shout right now. Just do it right now. Just do it right now. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. He says, they're four in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the fiery furnace. And the Bible says, he looked in there and he says, servants of the Most High God, come forth. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. When you come out, the fire is still going to be raging. He's not going to turn the fire down in order for you to come out. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. The fire is still raging when they come out. And the Bible says, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors were all gathered together. And they saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their hair singed, neither their coats changed, nor the smell of fire was upon them. Slap your neighbor and say, not only are you coming out, but when you come out, you won't even look like you've been in there. When you come out. God, I feel like preaching to somebody. Somebody say, it won't even look like I went through what I went through.
I've got to quit. God, I feel the anointing. I've got to quit. And the Bible says that these men walked out. And when they walked out, they didn't even look like they were in there. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent an angel to deliver his servant. Oh, God, can I preach a little bit to you? Slap your neighbor high five and say, I got an angel. Oh, God, I feel an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Look at your neighbor behind you and say, I got an angel. I got an angel. Honey, I can't explain it, but God is about to send me somebody that has the power to deliver. Look at your neighbor and say, I got an angel. Oh, God, I feel an anointing in here. Shake their hand like you're about to shake it off and say, I got an angel. For the word says, are there not ministering angels sent to minister to the heirs of salvation? Somebody declare, I got angels. I got angels. By the time you get home, stuff gonna be arranged. I got angels. By the time you get to work on Monday, stuff gonna change. I can't get help. I got angels. I got angels. I got angels. And the Bible, y'all stay on your feet. The Bible says, and he sent an angel to deliver them. And the Bible says, and they changed the king's words. Woo! Therefore, I make a decree that every people in the nation and the language would speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I will deal with. And the Bible says, the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How did he promote them? He made a proclamation unto all the nation. I wish I had somebody to help me out. And he let all the nation know, wherever these three men are, leave them alone. Wherever they go and whatever they say, you simply do it. Look at your name and say, divine compensation. Study will show that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was put over seven provinces of Babylonia. The king said, I'll turn the fire up seven times hotter. But my promotion is that I'm put over seven regions of land. You tried to kill me seven times over, but God compensated me for what you tried to do. And what he meant for evil, the Lord, I know I wore you out because you're sitting down. And what he meant for evil, y'all don't want to have no church. The Lord turned it around for his good. If you had any good Holy Ghost sense, you would do a Holy Ghost turn, baby, and say, God, turn it around for me. I need the Lord to turn some things around. Go in and take a Holy Ghost turn. Oh, hallelujah. Grab your neighbor by the hand all over the room. Come on, I can't leave you. I can't leave you until I do it. Grab a neighbor by the hand all over the room. Shake it and make sure they got a pulse.
You got to check sometimes, man. Especially in church, folk act like they dead. There ain't nowhere, there's not too many places that of the Pentecostal persuasion that can get you out in the time I got you out right here. So you ain't got nowhere to run and nothing to be mad about. It's just a couple minutes after 12. You're going to be everybody to the restaurant, I promise. I promise. You're going to be leaving when they coming in. I can promise you that. Today is a day that God wants to promote you. Do you even know what that means? While the world is in turmoil, God works in and through individuals. He does that to change the king's words. You don't hear what I'm saying. He takes regular folk like you and I, and he does such a work and a wonder. That's what he does. He puts you in positions and places that really, in all honesty, you're not qualified for. See, the fire qualifies you. On paper, you don't meet the requirements. The fire got those three boys an audience with the king. If the king was looking for princesses, they wouldn't have been one of them. Because their resumes would not have qualified them. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the fire that qualifies you. And some of you have been in a fire crisis, turmoil, upheaval. Not just because of what somebody else did, but because of decisions you've made. But the Lord says, I control the flames, boo. And when I bring you out of this thing, it's not even going to feel like, look like you've been in the fire. And the stuff they try to destroy in your life will still be intact. They put those three Hebrew boys over seven provinces. Each one got seven provinces. Hallelujah. That they got to rule over. Glory to God. You have no idea what God is doing and then through you. You might think you know, but it's not always revealed to us. It's just not. I wish it was, trust me. If I could, if God would just tell me what's up front, I'd be straight. But he requires faith. That's his currency. Because without it, you can't please him. The hand you have might be dealing with crisis. My job today was to tell you and declare to you, today is a day of promotion. Today is the day you walk out the fire. So the reason why I have you holding that hand is because symbolically and prophetically, the person next to you might not have the gumption or the hard attitude to step out of that fire. Going through difficulty does a work on your brain, and it normalizes the experience, and it makes you think this is always going to be the case.
I got good gospel news for somebody. The devil is a liar. That is not your normal. Struggle is not your normal. Pain is not your normal. Adversity is not your normal. It's not that you're going to have a life without those things. It's just that that's not your normal. So today, you're going to help the person next to you, and you're going to walk them out the fire. Now remember, you're walking you out too. Come on, man. That hand you got needs to step out of the fire. Amen. Because the fire doesn't go down just because you're coming out. The fire was still raging 7 times hotter, and they just walked out of it into their promotion. So I want you to take 4 steps. Not yet. Don't do it. Now, if you're in a pew, obviously you can't take 4 steps forward. If you try, you're going to hurt yourself. So I want you to take 4 symbolic steps in that pew. All right? So if you're in a pew, if you are in a pew and there's a chair in front of you, it's going to look like this. If you're across the aisle and you're next to somebody in the pew, you cannot move forward with their hands. So the only people, let me simplify it, that are taking a step forward are the people on the front row. Everybody else is taking 4 symbolic steps. Can you do that with me this morning? Look at your name and say, I need you to step with me out the fire. I know it's been hard. I know it's been difficult, but today we walk out together. Come on. Today we do this together. Today our lives change together. On 3, let's go. 1, 2, 3. Do it. Take a step out of the fire. Take a step out of the fire. Take a step out of the fire. Yeah.